see each of you this morning. Good to have some visiting with us this morning, and we want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find that I teach something wrong, I stand to be corrected. You'll show me where I'm wrong from the Scripture. I'll make the proper correction. But if you find the truth taught this morning, we pray that you would make this proper application. If you need to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here. The baptistry's filled. We'd be glad to immerse you into Christ this morning. If you have your Bible, if you will, look in the book of Isaiah and the 66th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 66, and I want to begin reading with you at verse 11. Isaiah 66, beginning at verse 11. That you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed on her sides, shall be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you read through the book of Isaiah the prophet, you'll find the prophet is prophesying to the people of Judah at this time. He is concerned with them and is challenging the people in regard to their treatment of God. Here is the God of heaven who has bestowed love upon them. He has shown them mercy and compassion. He has delivered them time and time again. And yet the people at this time took for granted the love of God. And Isaiah is trying to get the people to see God's love for them, and yet for whatever reason, they would not heed the words of the prophet of God. And if you look in your Bible, in the book of Isaiah and the 66th chapter, you find that they take God's love for granted, and they would not return to Him. God continues to call for them, even though they had rebelled and gone contrary to His will. God had called and God had pleaded that they would return to His love. And in an effort to put before them the love God has, Isaiah shows several contrasts and parallels. I recognize this morning I do not have the ability to preach about the love of God as I should. I would that I had the ability to put in the hearts of men and women the love God has for His people. But I do recognize that I can look at several things and I can recognize that He puts before us some things that may better help me understand God's love. If you take your Bible for just a moment, look back in the book of Deuteronomy and the 32nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Deuteronomy and the 32nd chapter, notice, if you will, verses 10 and 11. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 and 11, Moses is putting before the people a picture of God's love. And the picture he puts before them is as an eagle taking care of her young. He says in verse 10 that God found him in the desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. Have you ever thought there is a picture of God's love? As an eagle tends to her eaglets, he said that is God caring for His people. Then if you take your Bible for just a moment, look if you will in the book of Matthew in the 23rd chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 23rd chapter, you get a picture of the love of God in verse 37. Not only do you see a picture as an eagle overlooking her young, but notice how Jesus addressed the city of Jerusalem. In verse 37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Not only do we see the picture of an eagle tending to her young, but notice Jesus claimed that He called them as a hen, trying to get the brood under the wing. Jesus is calling the people, and you see a picture of love. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the third chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the third chapter, if you will, look at verse 16. And we quote this and we know this verse, but sometimes I wonder if we've ever touched the hem of the garment to the love involved. When it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I put before you three pictures of God's love. You see the picture of God caring for His people as an eagle over the eaglets. You have a picture as a chicken gathering the brood. But then you have God's love pictured in John 3. At the giving of His Son. But when you come back to the book of Isaiah and the 66th chapter, I want you to stop and look at a picture Isaiah used. In Isaiah 66, look at verse 13 and notice it carefully. As one whom his mother comforts. Have you ever thought about the love of a mother? Have you ever thought that that is described as God's love? That here is a picture of love. And here He says, just as a mother comforts her children, God said, "I will comfort you." What I want to do for a few moments of our time is to examine Isaiah 66 and look at the love of a mother. And then notice that as great as a mother's love is, no one loves you more than God. And then we'll make application the lesson's yours. The first thing I want you to look at in the book of Isaiah and the 49th chapter. And when you think about a mother's love, you think about a love that tends to her children. In Isaiah chapter 49, if you will, notice with me what is stated in verse 14. In Isaiah 49, in verse 14, notice that the Scripture says, "The Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me." That was what the people said. But God denies that charge. Look at verse 15. "Can a woman forget a nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me." Now then, I want you to think about a mother's love. Have you ever stopped to think that a mother tends to her children? And the picture in Isaiah 49 is one of a mother who cares for a child. You ever thought that when a child has a need, what does that child do? That child cries out. That child lets know the mother has a need, whether it needs to be fed or whatever it might need. And the mother is going to nurse the child. She's going to tend to the child. Most mothers, we would think about in our day, would not forget a child. But notice what he says in Isaiah 49. He says a mother might forget. You know, this morning, we need to stop and think about this thing. If you had a mother that loves you, and you had a mother that tended to your needs, you need to be thankful. Because some mothers neglect their children. And you know, sometimes we just assume everybody has a good mother. And that's not true. For over 30 years, my parents kept foster children. And I want to tell you, I've seen children come in whose mothers neglected them, abused them, mistreated them. And sometimes what we need to recognize is not every Mother's Day is good for some children. And what I need to recognize is if my mother is one that loved me and tended to me, I need to be thankful. So often I find people who take for granted the love of a mother. And if your mother comforted you and your mother raised you and your mother taught you right from wrong, you need to be thankful for that kind of a mother. Have you ever thought that a mother cares for her children? A mother's love will stir the heart. You ever think back growing up? Those of you who are older, have you thought back to what your mother was willing to sacrifice and what your mother was willing to do so that you could advance in life? I remember one thing very distinctly today. I remember one time we were sitting at supper. I already had a piece of pie. There was one piece left. All of a sudden, Mama didn't want pie because Michael wanted another piece. Ever stop to think what a mother's willing to do for a child? And yet, as much as the mother loves you, remember, no one loves you more than God. But not only do we see a mother tending to her children, look at what he says in Isaiah 66. In Isaiah 66 and verse 3, notice that the people of God are in a bad condition. That talks about in verse 3, he who kills a bull as if he slays a man, he who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck, he who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine blood. Look at their attitude towards God. They're violent, they're defiling God's will, they're going contrary to God's will, they're going in a way that is idolatrous, they're leaving the will of God, and yet God continues to show them love. In verse 4, notice in Isaiah 66 verse 4, I choose their delusions and bring fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. God said, here I am bestowing love upon you, but you're not reciprocating that love. In fact, the business, you look at me with disdain. You look at me with and defy my will. You go contrary to everything I'm trying to get you to do. And God said, you're choosing to delight in that which I have no delight. Have you ever thought that you can do that to a mother? And yet God shows the people that though they're in a sad condition, though they're in that which is contrary, that God still loved them. You ever stop to think about how great God's love is and a mother's love is? And notice some of the contrast between a God's love and the mother's love. First, God's love is manifested in patience. You ever thought, had God so desired, when the people in Isaiah's day had gone contrary to his will, that God could have wiped them all out with just a snap of the finger? Look, if you will, though, what he offers them in verse 12. Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Here they are, they're going contrary to God. He offers them peace. Then in verse 13, he offers them comfort. When I stop and consider the love of a mother, and then I look at the love of God, I recognize one great thing. As great as a mother's love is, no one loves you more than God. Now then, let's look at the contrast. First, notice that a mother's love is powerful. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 21. When you open your Bible to 2 Samuel 21, you'll find a woman identified as Rizpah. And you'll find that no fault to her or her children, they're going to be put to death upon the mountainside. And when you read in 2 Samuel 21, you'll find that for 3 months, their bodies were hung out on a mountainside. And you know what that mother did even after they had died? She stayed there until the corpses had decayed. And you know what that mother did? Anytime a wild animal would come down to try to eat of the bodies of her 7 sons, she would go up and she would take and fight the animal. She would scare the animal off. She would not allow that animal to eat her son's body. You think about a mother's love who's willing to sit and watch the bodies of her dead son. That's a powerful love. That's a great love. That here she's making a sacrifice to stay with the bodies of her deceased children. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in 2 Kings chapter 4. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, you'll find that an individual and his wife had a child. And you'll remember that the child had gone out into the field with the father. And when the child's out in the field, you remember he said, my head in verse 19. And you notice what the father did? The father said, carry him to his mother. You ever thought about why he said, carry him to his mother? I want to tell you something, my friend, because a mother can comfort better than a daddy. I know that as a fact. I remember one time when I was just a little boy, I came up to my father because I'd cut my arm, and I said, Daddy, look at my arm. And you know what he did? He stepped on my toe, and he said, your arm don't hurt as bad now, does it? You know what I didn't want? I didn't want to go to daddy anymore. And I got hurt, I went to mama. Because you know what my mama did? My mama treated it like it's supposed to be treated. And I want you to think about here as a young child, and what does she do? They take the child and they take it to the mother. And notice she holds the child till he dies. Have you ever thought about a mother's love is powerful? Can you see how long and how strong a mother's love is? But I want to tell you, no one loves you more than God. But I want to tell you something else. A mother love provides. Have you ever looked at a mother's love and how she provides for her children? Not just physically, but spiritually. And a greater joy it is when a mother gives birth to a child. Have you ever thought that a mother rejoices more when she sees her child spiritually born again? When she sees her child come to faith in God, and she sees her child raised anew in Christ, and now he's a child of God, not only her son or daughter, but now a brother or sister in Christ. And what joy it is for a mother to see her child grow spiritually. A mother provides not just physically, but spiritually. I thought about when I was growing up, I quit going to church for a while. My whole family did. And I'll never forget that we stopped because there was a problem in the local church. Everybody was fussing and fuming, and we just said, that's it. Then one day my mother came in to my father and I, and she looked at us and said, I'll tell you what, y'all go to hell if you want to. I'm going back to God because no one loves you more. Have you ever stopped to think about that a mother cares about your spiritual well-being? Sometimes when a mother talks to you about your soul, what parent, what young children do, or older children, it don't matter our age, we listen to our mother and her father and we say, oh, here they're going to talk about religion again. Here they're going to talk about my soul. Can I tell you why they talk about your soul? They love you. If they didn't love you, they wouldn't say a thing about your soul. You know what you tell people when you don't talk to them about their soul? In essence, you're telling them, go to hell. Basically, if I don't care about your soul, I won't say anything to you. And so when a mother or father takes time and talks to you, don't roll your eyes if you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 20. Because I'll tell you what that mother's showing you. She's showing you love for your soul. And God help us to love our own soul as much as our mother does. And a mother will provide guidance, and a mother will provide spiritual care as well as physical care. But then I stop and think about a mother's love is patient. It never stops. Have you ever noticed that there can be a man on trial for murder, and everybody in the world's against him? Nobody in the world will stand with him. Everybody talks about what they think of him. Nobody cares for him. But you know what you'll see standing behind him? You'll see his mother. His wife may have nothing to do with him. His children may never talk to him again. Nobody else may care one thing for him. But you know who stands beside him? A mother. Oh, I want you to think about a mother's love that never stops. Then I want you to think about a mother will take you back. You ever notice no matter how much you mess up, a mother's love is unconditional. It will take you back. When nobody else would take you back, a mother will take you back. And I'll tell you, I believe it's a sin to forget the love of a mother. It's a sin to take for granted what she does. It's like the sign said as I was going out of town the other day, a mama will come and sit in the rain to watch her child sit on the bench at a ball game. But as great as love as a mother's love is, no one loves you more than God. And I want to get in our mind that God's love is so great. There's no greater love. And what Isaiah is trying to get the people to see in that day, we need to see today that God's love is even greater than a mother's love. God is patient. As much as a mother's love is patient, look at how patient God has been with us. You know what, my friends, as sinful and as ungodly as this nation is, and as sinful and as defiant as each of us have been, God could have wiped us out a long time ago. God doesn't owe us anything. God does not owe us salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. And some of us act like we should, that God should just be grateful we have anything to do with Him. No, my friend, we should be thankful God has anything to do with us. He is holy. He's majestic. He is over all. Here we are, insignificant pieces of dust on His creation. And we act like we're so high and mighty. We ought to be thankful that He hasn't wiped us out. Sometimes we act like we've done some great thing just because we come and worship Him. Oh no, my friend. We ought to look at this opportunity and show our love for God. I can't put in your mind and in your heart like I'd like this morning the greatness of God's love. But have you ever looked at His patience? In 2 Peter 3:9, you know He talked about the fact that Christ is not slack concerning His promise. What? The coming of His Son again. Christ will come again. This earth will be destroyed. We will meet Him in judgment. Just because it hasn't happened yet, God said, doesn't mean it won't. He says, but God is long-suffering. Oh, why would I get that in my heart as I should? God is patient. As patient as a mother is, God has even been more patient. And the only reason this world's not been destroyed is because of the long-suffering, patient love of God. But then I want you to think about something else. God takes you back. Have you ever thought that God will take you back when you fall, when you sin? God's love is so great that He wants you to come back. Now, man isn't that way. You hurt man, man sometimes doesn't want anything else to do with you. Sometimes we confuse God's love with man's love. God will take you back. When no one else will take you back, God will. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. Sometimes when I get discouraged about my sins and I think about, well, does God want me? Would God want a filthy sinner from Charlotte, Tennessee like Michael Richardson? And then I read 1 John 1. And I read what he says in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You ever thought God will take you back? Sometimes a spouse may not take you back. Sometimes even a parent may not take you back. And even if a mother wouldn't take you back, God loves you more. God will take you back. In Luke 15, you think of that prodigal son. There would be some parents who would look at that son and say, oh, I knew you'd be back. And they'd say, you've got what you deserve in mystery. Notice what the father does in Luke 15. He runs, he embraces, he kisses, he welcomes. What a picture of the love of God. I don't deserve that love. You don't deserve that kind of love. And yet, no one loves you more than God. But then I want you to think about something else. God will be beside you when no one else will. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is about to face death. The Apostle Paul is going to be put to death for his faith. But notice what Paul had to say when he looked at his first defense in verse 17. In verse 16, he said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But look at verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You ever thought that no one was there? Paul said no one was standing beside him. There he was in that prison in Rome, and he said, I'm about to face death. And he said, when I went to my first trial, I looked around. Who's going to take a stand for me? Who's going to be there to defend me and take the stand for me? He said, no one was there. He said, but let me correct that. The Lord was there. The Lord stood by me. One last thought. Who would you want to judge you in the day of judgment? I've often thought, it's coming up on 6 years since I've seen the face of my mother. The last time I saw her alive, I was standing by her bedside in Charlotte, Tennessee. It was a Sunday night, and I said, do you want me to go preach or stay home with you? And I said, preach. She nodded yes. I said, I love you. kind of mouthed the words, "Loved you." She died before I got back home. And I'll tell you what hurt me so much that night. There wasn't but a handful of people that came out Sunday night to think about the love of God. And I thought maybe, perhaps, someone who's on the threshold of eternity cared more about the souls of others than they cared about their own. I came back that night. She was gone. And I thought, wouldn't it be something on the day of judgment to look up and see my mother's face and have her be my judge? That would be great, because who loves you more than my mother? God loves you more. No one loves you more than God. And no one's as patient and gracious as our God. But if you don't want any part of God, He's not going to force you to love Him. And in Romans chapter 8, it talks about who can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Paul goes into great detail saying nothing can separate you from the love of God. But if you go to hell, it's because you did not reciprocate God's love. You go to hell with God loving you every step of the way to hell. But it's because you don't love Him. No one loves you more than God. As much as you may miss your mother, can you imagine missing God for eternity? Because you chose not to love Him back. Who loves you more? No one loves you more than God. If you need to obey God, we pray you come.